I stand in judgment now. I feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth I walked beside you day by day. You could have led me straight to him. My knowledge then was very dim, but never once did you show me the way. You called me friend, but that was then, when we were young and best of friends, living here on good old planet Earth. Now I know that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. You never told me of that second birth.
And now I'm lost forever. I'm burning in this awful place. I'm suffering so much pain here, and through it all I see your face. You're bound for heaven, and you won't reach this bitter end. But it's so hard to stay here, knowing that you were once my friend.
You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend, I trusted you. We walked by day and talked a lot at night. But now I know that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate and showed me how to walk in paths of light. But you let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. So now I stand each day at last condemned. Yes, I called you friend in life. I trusted you through joy and strife. But now I see that you were not my friend.
And now I'm lost forever. I'm burning in this awful flame. I'm suffering so much pain here, and through it all I see your face. I'm glad you're bound for heaven. You won't reach this bitter end, but it's so hard to stay here, knowing that you were once my friend. So tell your friends about the Lord, so they will miss this awful place. So they won't suffer so much pain here, and in their suffering see your face. I'm glad you're bound for heaven, and you won't reach this bitter end. But it's so hard to stay here, knowing that you were once my friend. Please bring your friends to Jesus, and then they'll always call you friend.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for that. What a blessing. So many things I want to say tonight, but again, we're going to try to be as concise as possible. First of all, let me say thank you again to the church family. It's been a blessing to be here, and I know you hear that a lot, but I want to tell him, Brother Angel, before the service, I have not been this refreshed going someplace in such a a long time. And, you know, churches always treat you well, and they treat you very nice. But just, Brother Angel, I'll tell you what, you got it down to a science. I mean, as far as the different things that go on, and again, just being here, and I appreciate it. It being in the hotel and the basket, and just and they had a nice car. Brother Moss, is he in here tonight? Is he here? Brother Moss, where are you at? But I'm driving Brother Moss's car, and I'm not flying home tomorrow. I'm driving home tomorrow. It is a nice car. I mean, he's got a Ford Edge, and I'll tell you what, I've never driven a Ford Edge before, but anyway, it's nice and big, and anyway, I feel like a monster inside the thing, and so anyway, I really enjoyed driving it. It's just a good, nice car. Thank you so much for doing that, and again, all the sacrifice of you all this week. Can't say thank you enough, and you guys are always friendly and kind. You know, I grew up in Sauk Village, and then, of course, going down to Kansas, Kansans are a little different. Now, it's not like Arkansas. Okay, it's Kansas, but so they're not that southern, okay? But Kansas is different, and being back here this week just reminded me of, you know, there's every place is different in the sense that its geographical location has a lot to do with it. But it's like Pastor Angel's mom being here. She's from Georgia. Am I correct on that? From Georgia? You're from Georgia? And, you know, she's different. I'm saying that in a nice way, okay? I don't mean that in a bad way, but, you know, geographic location. And just the way being here has reminded me growing up all my years, again, being up here, not too far from here. But anyway, it's just been refreshing, again, to be here all the way around. So thank you so much for everything. And then, Brother Bortelli, you talk about a small world. Jonathan's father worked for us for 7, 8 years. Our printing ministry was birthed in really the heart of Brother Bartell Sr. And brilliant man, and started the ministry. And, of course, the Lord allowed us to continue on it as the Lord took him elsewhere. But anyway, just they were in our church for 7, 8 years when you were a tot. I don't know, how old were you when you were at our church years ago? 7 years old. So from the time you were born to 7 years old. And he was a rebel then, so nice to... I'm glad you've changed. But anyway, so it's just a small world the way it is. Church family, hey, I'm going to give you a little bit of humor because I don't normally tell jokes and I'm very serious-minded about everything. So I have to start off this way. It just helps me loosen up but a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. When you introduce the speaker's mother with putting 21 marshmallows in your mouth and saying chubby bunny, I feel special. Alrighty? So anyway, I'll tell you what. These two guys were talking, and one of them worked at a florist, but these two guys were talking, and he looks to his buddy and says, "Hey, are you still working at that florist?" He said, "No, I got fired." He said, How come you got fired? He said, "Well," he said, "I had to put the cards into the floral tributes, and I got two of them mixed up." He said, "The flowers going to a wedding, I thought we're going to a funeral. So I put a card which read, 'With deepest sympathy,' and the flowers going to the funeral had a wedding card in it." He said, "Well, what did the wedding card say?" He said, "Well, that one said, 'Hope you'll be happy in your new home.'" Oh, my goodness. All right. I got one more, and then we're going to get to preach it, all right? Here's the last one, all right? A widow had 3 sons, and she was getting older, and the sons wanted to treat their mother special, so each of them would do something. So the sons decided to do something for her. Since she lived so far of a distance away, the first son, which was the eldest built her a new home that was very large. The second son bought her a Mercedes and hired a driver to take her around. Well, the third son didn't have much, but he did have a smart parrot. So he taught the parrot the entire Bible. You could say a book of the Bible, and then he would quote the entire book nonstop. And he sent that to his mother. Well, the widow sent a thank you note to the 3 boys. The first son, she sent a thank you note and said, "Hey, thanks for the house, but it's so large, I only live in 1 room. She sent a note to the second son, saying, "Hey, thank you so much for the car, but that driver is obnoxious." She sent a note to the third son. She said, "Thank you ever so much. You know exactly what I like, and it's my favorite of all. That fried chicken was the best I've ever had." Oh, the poor parrot. All right. Last night to be here, and I've been overjoyed to be here. Again, I feel at home, so thank you so much for doing that for us. And I want to say one more thing before I jump into this. Brother Angel was very gracious to me as far as going home. You know, he asked me about coming for the conference on Wednesday, and I want to be here. You know, I don't know, your pastor's, he's my role model, and he's really taught me over the years, because when he comes to our place, he's dying to get back here to you. So when I'm at a stage in my life, and I know it's just probably just a cycle of life for me, but I don't like being gone either. I don't like being gone from my home church. And you be honest with you, I don't think it bothers them. I think they're happy that I'm leaving. But I, in my heart, I always feel convicted, I guess, just again, you know where God's placed you at. And God gives you opportunities, like being able to touch you and influence you and be with you. It's a joy, extreme joy. So anyway, I appreciate Brother Angel giving me permission again to be home tomorrow night with the church family. And I want to tell you, you talk about being pulled. I've enjoyed myself so much, I would like to stay. And but I want to say thank you again for letting me come for these few days. I want to share one more thought with you tonight. And so let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll ask God's blessing on the service. Father in heaven, thank you again for what we've already heard. Lord, continue to use Minister Bartels, and Lord, help him to get to the field of Russia quickly. Lord, please put your hand in safety there. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd again help us again to understand, Lord, what faith promise does for us personally. Give us now the words to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, church family, look at me now. I'm going to run really quick tonight. I'll do my best not to run too fast. But I want you to think tonight. There are two passages of Scripture, again, that we said, I think, a service or two ago, that has to do with faith promise. And you've probably heard several messages on them, okay? The first one being 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Your pastor preached out of 2 Corinthians 8 this last Sunday. I preached on it, I believe, last night. And what is faith promise? I hope you keep that card. To me, that's that looking at the Scripture, faith promise is giving to God through missions, by faith, because of love, out of what God has provided me. That's the bottom line, all of us. And young people, listen, you ought to want to give to missions. Right? This is not just an adult thing. It's a Christian thing, all right? And you ought to want to give it to missions. Now, tonight, I want to use the other passage tonight out of Philippians chapter 4 because I believe that it really explains it. So if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4 tonight, I want to talk about what faith promise does for you. In other words, what giving to missions does for you personally. Now, I want to tell you something. Now, this is going to sound very selfish, but you can't get around the fact that if you give to missions, God does something for you as an individual. Now, I want you to notice the three things that are mentioned by Apostle Paul that when the church at Philippi gave to him, this is what God did for that particular church, and specifically the people of that church. All right, so let's look at our Bible tonight, Philippians chapter number 4. If you're with me tonight, say amen. I want you to look down at verse number, let's pick up verse number 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. But I, Paul writing, Paul the missionary, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me had flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Church family, let me do this tonight if you don't mind. I'm conscious of tonight. You've already eaten. Tonight's Tuesday night. I want to go ahead and preach if you don't mind while I walk through this tonight. And I want to get tonight what faith promise does for you. So I'm just going to jump right in. Let's go back to verse number 10. Here's what he says. The missionary is Apostle Paul. He says, but I rejoice. The word rejoice means full of cheer. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me, church at Philippi, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful. You were anxious. You were worried. You wanted to make sure it happened, but ye lacked opportunity. Now, tonight I know that maybe not all of you understand where we're going tonight, but what you saw on the screen a few moments ago, the last two verses on Jonathan's presentation. Thank you very much. Presentation. Man, I'm sure glad you're here to interpret. Presentation. I'm always there, all right? But presentation, all right, was the verses that we're going to look at tonight. I want you to look at, I'm going to come right back to verse 10, but look at verse number 15 first. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, in other words, when you had gotten saved, church was established. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, church, I mean, read those next two words out loud. Ready? No church communicated with me as concerning giving, receiving me only. Now, church, I want to tell you, I am very sold on the fact that we do not give to missions I'm talking about personally without the church, because the church is what's supposed to be, is the one that sends the missionary. Hey, I'm telling you, I have met people, and listen, if you do that tonight, this is you and God, but I'm just trying to tell you, I have met people that have supported their own missionaries, and they don't send their missionary money to the local church. I think Philippians is very, very, very clear when Paul said no church. He didn't say no individual. He said no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. In other words, the mission support came through the local church, all right? So again, I think it's clear there. So I'll jump back to verse number 10. Here's what he says. But I rejoiced. The church family, I want to talk to you tonight, and I'm going to get there quickly, but I want to talk to you tonight on what faith promise or missions giving does for you. But before I can get there, Paul's going to tell us what faith promise missions giving does for the missionary. Now think about what Paul said here in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now, just tell me, tonight in the service tonight, we have Brother and Sister Bartels in the service tonight, Brother and Sister Painter in the service tonight. These are the missionaries that you have. Brother Stage is upstairs right now. And Brother Shaver, of course, he had to take off. And Mrs. Bixby had to take off. Now watch tonight. I'm going to use these two probably mostly tonight. But when these missionaries get your support, we don't understand, because we're not missionaries, of what it's like to get a report that shows us what churches are supporting us, yes, prayerfully, but financially. But I want to tell you what these missionaries do. They, especially when they get to the field, they jump up and down to realize there's somebody back home that's behind them, that's for them. That's why Paul said very clearly, I rejoiced. I rejoice at you Philippians, because you took care of my need, the necessities that I have. You sent unto my necessity once and again. So, I'm not a missionary, but I know from a missionary standpoint, Apostle Paul says, I want to tell you what your missions giving does for me. It makes me rejoice. Look what else it does for him in verse number 11. Not only did he rejoice, causes rejoicing, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, lack, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Now, again, church, I just want to, because it's in the scripture, I just want to point this out. But can I tell you something? You know what missions giving does for the missionary? It not only causes them to rejoice, but it causes them to be content. Now, church family, you have seven, if I remember correctly, out of this church directly, plus the ones that you support, which are more, a lot more than that. Our church has two presently that are directly out of our church. Ben was 5 years old, I believe it was, when he came to the church. I've been there 25 years, so he's on the field. He grew up. I'm the only pastor he's really ever known. David Deal came when he was 16 years old. He was a missionary's kid on the foreign field, and he came at age 16 after his father died with cancer. And then we had him through high school and then, of course, college. And so, again, there's a closeness there. It's neat to see young people grow up and then go to the mission field. But it was totally different for me once we had missionaries out of our own church, because you know why? They are more candid with me as the pastor. Missionaries that are not from your church, they're kind and they're loving, but they're not close enough to tell you the nitty-gritty, okay? So what I'm trying to say tonight is this, is that David has had times, David Deal, I call over to Panama. I've been there several times. I'll be there twice this coming year. Ben is in Africa in November. In fact, Deanna's going to go with us on that trip. But I'll go over to Africa here in November and see them, and they're a little more candid. I was on the phone with Ben last week. I was on the phone with Ben. Ben never asked for anything, okay? You all support Ben? All right, so you all support Ben Smith. He was going to South Sudan. Things closed up there. He's right on the border of South Sudan, about 4 hours off. He's getting to reach Sudanese people that are coming out of there. And then, of course, he's got a church there. He started in Arua. Well, Ben doesn't ask for anything. In fact, I was going to preach a missions conference that Ben was going to. And this is when he was on deputation. And Ben drove ahead of me. But Ben, because he doesn't want to ask for anything, he had just started deputation. He didn't have any money coming in. He just started. He takes off to go to... This was an eight-hour drive. He takes off. He knew he didn't have enough gas in his car, but he didn't want to ask anybody for money. So he drives halfway. He stops at a farmer and says, hey, listen, would you just let me work for some money so that I can get some gas in my car? And the farmer did. But, yes, that's the kind of man Ben was. So when Ben got to that meeting, he didn't say anything, but halfway through that meeting, I'm preaching at the meeting. And I got. He told me what had happened, and it's almost like I had to drag it out of him. And I said, Ben, we're your home church. Don't ever do that again. I said, if you need something, you've got to say something to me. But I want to tell you something. You know what it does for the missionary? Your missions? It causes them to be content. Because that's why Paul said, in whatsoever state I am. I want to tell you something. A missionary is not always going to have enough money. When I was talking to Ben on the phone last week, I could just tell by talking to him, he was not telling me something. In fact, while Ben's over there right now, the missionary is about to come out of our church is actually his brother. He's going to Kenya, Africa, so he's on a survey trip right now, and he was just at Ben's place. Ben took David, his brother, across the border. It was a whole day trip, like 12, 13-hour trip. But he took him all the way over to Kenya. On the way back from Kenya, somebody stole his wallet. He had $300 in it. He gets to the border after dropping him off. I don't know how many hours he had driven from Kinder, dropping him off. He gets to the border to go back in Uganda. He figures out, oh, man, I don't have my wallet. He didn't have enough gas to get back home. I'd like to see him go work for a farmer over there. Okay, now, so when Ben's telling me the story on the phone, I knew something wasn't quite right. I said, Ben, listen, I'm going to send you $1,000. I told him $500. I sent him $1,000. I said, I'm going to send you $1,000. Your sister's going to make sure it gets put into your bank account. I said, you've got to communicate with me if something's wrong. If something's going on, you got to make sure you tell me. Now, Ben's not going to do that. You know why? Because he has learned as a missionary that whatsoever state he's in to be what? Right, now, we don't understand that. You know why? We're not missionaries like they're missionaries. But you know what your giving does? Hey, by the way, all the missionaries that know, there's sometimes churches that a church stops supporting them, pastor changed churches. There's going to be times in their life that's going to cause them to have to go to God and not to a local church. You know what? That's the part of the missions giving, and that's what Paul's talking about here. He says, first of all, I rejoice as a missionary by your missions giving. Second of all, it causes me to be content if I've got much, if I got little. Look what he says in verse number 12, next of all. He said in verse number 12, I know both how to be abased, that means to depress or bring low. I know how to abound, that means to be in excess. Everywhere in all things, I'm instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, you and I use verse 13, but verse 13 is a missionary verse. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. You know why he said that? Because I know both how to abound and I know how to be abased. I know how not to have anything, I know how to have much. And I will tell you something. The thing I've learned about both of them is I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hey, you know what your missions giving does for the missionary? It causes them to rejoice, causes them to be content, but it also causes them to trust God. Hey, listen to me, church family. Listen, we need to support missionaries because it's a biblical thing. We're about to read the rest of the verses. But you know, God's doing something in the missionary too. He's causing them to figure out that their sustenance does not come from the home churches. Their sustenance comes from, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All right? Now, with all that said now, what does missions giving do for us? Paul's about to tell us, all right? Look at verse number 14, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding, in other words, I know how to abase, I know how to abound, I know how to little, I know how to have much. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done. Church of Philippi, ye have well done that ye did communicate, you shared company with. Ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. All right? Let your family look up here, because I want to share three thoughts, and I'm going to go really quick tonight, but I want to show you what Paul says, what their missions giving did for them. And the same thing it does for us. All right? First one you've heard over and over, it was on the missionary presentation tonight. Look at verse number 17 with me. In fact, let's just read it all out loud together. Verse 17 together. Ready? Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, that verse has been used a lot, but church family, I want you to get a picture of what that verse is actually saying. The word gift there means present. He says in verse number 17, not because I desire a gift, a present, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, remember now, Philippians 4 is talking about missions giving. Hey, you've met my need. You sent it once and again. He says, it came from the church at Philippi. Now, church, let me watch for a second here. Is there an offering plate in the back I can use real quick? Do you have an offering plate back there? Could I have that for you real quick if you don't mind? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I was going to ask you earlier and I forgot. All right, now, church family, hey, Brother Griffin, right? Brother Griffin, could you help me if you don't mind? You're an usher, right? Okay, pretend you're an usher. All right, come here. All right, now, church family, here's... No. What, is that the money row or something? I mean, he went straight for you, all right? All right, now, church family, I want to show you what takes place at the Faith Baptist Church every Sunday. This is what takes place every Sunday because... I won't ask you, but many of you already give the faith promise, okay? You're giving your missions, you're not giving your tithes already belongs to God, your faith promise is not your tithe, okay? Now, here's what takes place. The usher comes down here, and he's passing the plate. Now, church family, I don't have an envelope, all right? Now, by the way, this is Scott Hanks. I put my money in an envelope every week. You know, I get these people say, well, I don't use an envelope. God knows what I'm giving. You know, you want to hide it from everybody. No, the truth matters, you're not giving. Okay, so, all right, so... I'm going to give my tithe and my offering. I'm going to put it inside of an envelope, and I'm going to mark what the missions is. Okay, I put down what my missions is. And now, for me personally, I always turn my envelope upside down. I don't care. I don't want it. It's not for everybody else to know, so I turn it upside down in the offering plate. But we're going to pretend tonight, okay, I have an envelope. Okay, so this is my money. I'm putting in this. My missions money. Okay? Now, according to that verse right now, there, Apostle Paul says that when the person gave their missions money, that it put fruit in their account. All right? Now, we're going to pretend just a little bit here. All right? I got my fruit up here tonight. I'm going to set this up here tonight, I think. That way you can see. Something is going on in heaven that I cannot see, but I believe is happening according to that verse. So the Bible says that when I put my missions money in, that the missionary is putting fruit in my account. Now, the missionary is going to help me tonight. Brother Painter is going to Thailand. Brother Bartel is going to Russia. Brother Sage is upstairs. So, Brother Bragg, where are you at, Brother Bragg? Okay, so Brother Bragg, yeah, you're back there. Good. Does your staff always sit on the back row? Okay. Unbelievable. Is that the school principal? Are you guys in school? I just want to say thank you for being more spiritual than your principal. Okay. Here we go. Back to where we were. Okay. So when I put my... Now, Brother Bragg is going to represent Brother Sage, who's going to Mexico. So we're going to pretend tonight that he's the missionary going to Mexico. Now, the Bible says that Paul said that because I don't desire a gift, this is my gift, he says, I don't desire that. I don't desire a gift, but he says, I desire fruit that abounds in your account. So when I put my missions money in at church, I'm doing the Heritage Baptist Church, you're doing the Faith Baptist Church, when I put that into the offering plate, something miraculous happens. Because at the judgment seat of Christ, according to the Scriptures, we're going to be judged according to our works, and that's not a place of judgment of sin, that's a place of reward. So here's what takes place. When I put my missions money in, you missionaries help me out, the missionaries go and put fruit in my basket. Amen. That God is keeping track of. I'm not keeping track of. And church, Brother Angel, how many missionaries do you all support here? 200. Now listen, there's a bunch of you guys in here, you know about investment. You cannot get a better investment than this. Amen. Especially in your church. Because when I put my missions money in, I have 200 missionaries that are putting fruit in my basket in heaven so that the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to reward me according to what I gave that was dispersed to the missionaries of my local church. Amen. Now, listen, church family, there's five things. I lost that thing again. There are five things mentioned in Scripture. This is yours. I'm not stealing it, all right? I went home with this last night. It stuck to my belt. I went to take my belt off last night, and I couldn't get it off. I thought I must have gained a lot of weight or something over here. So I'm not taking that tonight, all right? So that way you don't think I'm stealing. I'll just put that in my pocket. Now, there's five things mentioned in Scripture that are fruit for the Christian, all right? The Bible says, you'll know the verse, Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. God teaches us that's fruit. Galatians 5, verse 22, 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit, as I'm filled with the Spirit, the fruit of that is that love, joy that comes out of a Christian's life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Bible talks about the fruit. Now, these references I won't be able to quote or give you, but you can look them up. But the fruit of our lips, the Bible talks about, is our singing, our praising God. All right? That's the fruit. The Bible talks about another one. It's called the fruit of righteousness. In other words, our actions that we do, there's fruit from that. I'll tell you what, if you've got children in here, you've been faithful to church, you see the fruit of your righteousness in your children and how God's blessed us. So different fruits. But listen, the fifth one, and that's the one we're dealing with tonight, is he says that I don't desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So I put more offering in the next week. I put more offering in. My missionaries help me out again. My missionaries go, and they go and put fruit to my account. Now, in their fruit, people being saved, people being discipled, people being called out of their church to go pastor or be missionaries themselves. So what happens is that the Faith Baptist Church, every Sunday, you can't see it happening, but Paul says that when you put your faith promise in, guess what your faith promise does for you? It overflows your account. Amen. You can't beat that. Hey, I might not be the best soul winner, but I can still have fruit. I might be lacking. You say, Pastor, I'm just not that person that just sings out and sings praises to God. I might be lacking in that fruit, but I don't have to be lacking in that one. Hey, there's a lot of ways to get fruit to your account, but one way God says specifically is, is give to missions. So Paul says, first of all, thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it. You can keep that. It's fine. Fruit. All right? To your account. Church family, you know, he's a good usher. It didn't take him long to walk away with that one, did it? Amen? I'm just joking. So the first thing that Paul says, what does faith promise do for you? It puts fruit to your account. Hey, church family, let me ask you a question. What would you feel like if Brother Angel had all of your checking account numbers and every week he put $100 in your account? It's not going to happen. But I said, what would you think? I mean, wouldn't you be pretty happy, man? A lot of you show it, you look at your account, there's an extra $100 in there via Brother Angel. Wouldn't it be a blessing? You know, I have seven children, and I don't know, a year or so ago, I decided while my kids were small, I would open up them their first savings account. And so, I think it was $100. I think for me to open, I had to put $100 in there. And so I opened up these accounts for my children. I didn't do the youngest one. I didn't start with her, but I started with the other ones that were a little bit older. I started $100. And, you know, I got to teach them. They need to start saving money. And I'll just give them, I'll put some seed money to get them started. But you know what? My kids, they just could not grasp in their mind that $100, you know, because they didn't work for it. They just think it's a number on paper. I think for us as Christians sometimes, we can't grasp this. We can't grasp in our mind what God's doing for us through the missionaries that we get to support. But I'm telling you, it's still real. Alrighty? So, first of all, fruit to our account. Second of all, think about this. Look what he says next, alright? So, verse number 17, fruit that abounds to your account. So, that's what Faith Promise Missions does for me. Number 2, verse 18. But I have all, Paul speaking to the missionary, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. Now, church family, who is Paul writing to right now? The church where? All right? So when he says, I received from Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, that means Epaphroditus was from the church at Philippi. Epaphroditus was the person that brought what the needs that Paul had, that missionary, if I can say the missionary giving, they brought that to Apostle Paul, Epaphroditus. Now look what he says next, though. He says in verse number 18 that Epaphroditus, the things that were sent from you, and here's what it was, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, I want to tell you, when I read that years ago, and this is how elementary my mind is, I thought Epaphroditus brought an odor. I did. He brought an odor of a sweet smell. I thought, man, maybe he brought cologne, perfume of some sort. But that's not what that's talking about. Paul is making an illustration or an allegory or an application to what their gift was like in the sight of God. He said, your missions giving was like an odor of a sweet smell. Hey, church family, listen. How many of you like fried chicken? How many of you like fried chicken? If you're saved, you better raise your hand. Hey, you know, what happens when you sit down to eat a meal of fried chicken? Before you ever take a bite, what sense do you use? Smell. And you smell that fried chicken, and your saliva glands start to move, and you start thinking, man, this is going to taste good. Hey, you ever gone into a house where somebody's making a homemade apple pie? And you're the tester to make sure it's safe to eat. Well, I'll tell you what, there's the fragrance. Now, I can't tell you it's fried chicken, I can't even tell you it's apple pie, but I'm telling you this much, God liked it. Because it says it was an odor of a sweet smell. Look what he says next here. It's a sacrifice acceptable, acceptable being pleasing. Now, I want you to notice again what he says next. Well-pleasing to God. Just hear me. There's a lot of things mentioned in Scripture that talks about that it was pleasing to God. And again, tonight, I mean, we could teach on and preach on. I'm not going to do that. I mean, singing praises to God, not yielding to the flesh, living by faith. All these things the Bible says, verses say, these are pleasing to God. But did you know the word well-pleasing is only mentioned twice in Scripture? Did you know the two things that are mentioned, of course, this is one of them, but the only other thing that the Bible says was well-pleasing unto the Lord is Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The only other thing the Bible talks about is this missions giving. He says that, Paul says that your giving was well-pleasing to God. You know, there's something that well-pleasing. There's something that really pleases to God when you take care of His own. Hey, parents in here, have you ever had anybody do something nice for your children? I don't know about how you are, occasionally. One of my kids, Stephen, he's on a nursing home ministry about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But one of the men that goes to that nursing home ministry took Stephen out to eat and bought him a meal. And you know what? I didn't ask him to do that, but that made me feel good that he would do that for my son. There's something about all those missionaries that are around the world, because they're God's children, that when you do something nice for His children, it makes them really pleased. So when you're giving your faith promise, what does faith promise do for you? Number one, it puts fruit in your account. But number two, it makes you well-pleasing to God. God's happy with you. I mean, like, really happy with you. Right? So again, we want to give because of that. Third of all, I want you to see this last thing. Look at verse number 19 with me now. Verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, church family, I have seen Christians use that verse all the time. But church family, that's a missions giving verse. That's a missions giving verse. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory." Now, again, Paul just got done saying earlier that the church at Philippi had met his need, the need of Paul, and the need that Paul said that God would fill for them. It was the same Greek word. It's necessity, demand, lack. Isn't it interesting that Paul said to the Philippian church, "You met my need through your poverty. My God will meet your need through His riches."
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Big difference.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Big difference. You know, are all these your children? Well, I know this thing isn't. Are these grandchildren? Okay. How are you doing? Can you help me for a second? No. You're elected, and I'm not asking. Come here now. All right, come here for a second. All right, is this your son or grandson? Okay, that's perfect. All right, would you stand for just a second? Now, church, let me ask you a question here. If you were going to have one of these two guys meet your need, how old are you?
13.
61? All right. I'm sorry. You're old. But anyway, if I was going to ask you and you had a need in your life and I said, "You need to pick which one of these guys are going to meet your need," would you pick him, Mr. 13-year-old, or him, the ancient? You'd say, "I'm not going to pick him. That guy probably don't even have a job." You got a job? No, I bet you don't. You have a savings account? You don't have nothing. Zero. Hey, church, I mean, you know what Paul was telling? Thank you so much. You know what Paul was telling the Corinthian church? He said, "Hey, listen, you in your poverty met my need. My God and His riches will meet yours." That's the thing about faith promise. You think, "Man, I just can't afford to give faith promise." Church, I mean, you don't understand who you're giving to. It's giving to God through missions. And so God says, "Hey, listen, you know what faith promise is going to do for you? But my God shall supply all your need." All your need. He's going to take care of you. He's not just going to let you go. You think you're sacrificing and God's going to let you not make it? God doesn't need your money. You know, I get a kick out of people like to use using the story of the widow of Zarephath. Remember the story of widow of Zarephath? Elijah, he comes to the widow of Zarephath, and there in 1 Kings, and he says, "Hey, you know, I'm here. I know you're making the last bit of the meal out of the barrel, a little bit of the cruse of the oil. I know that's left." She looks at him and says, "Listen, this is the last meal. My son and I are going to eat this and die." What does he say? "The man of God, make some for me first." You all think the same. He's asking for something else. So, have you ever thought about this? Elijah did not go to the widow of Zarephath to be taken care of. He went to the widow of Zarephath to take care of her.
Amen.
You know how I know that? Because Elijah was being fed by ravens. Do you think God ran out of ravens? He did not go to the widow of Zarephath because God ran out of food. He went to the widow of Zarephath so God could help that widow. Not Elijah didn't need her help. He was being fed by birds out of the sky. The only reason he came is to see if she would be willing enough to give a small portion of what she had so that God could take care of her and her household for an entire famine. Because the barrel never wasted and the cruse never ran dry. I'm just trying to tell you, Faith Promise is really about us. It's not about the missionary. Can I tell you something? You know this, but can I tell you? Brother and Sister Painter are going to go to the foreign field whether you support them or not. Brother Bartell is going to do the same thing. Because he's really not dependent. This is what God has for them. But truthfully, the reason the missionaries are here are not for them. They're here for us. They're here for us. You say, no, they're the missionary. They need us. No, we need them. Because if I don't give to missions, I have no fruit in my account. If I don't give to missions, I am not well pleasing to the Lord. If I don't give to missions, He does not meet my need. So truthfully, the missionaries are not here for us to help them. The missionaries are really here to help us. That's really what they're here for. Because God's got plenty of birds still. And you know what? It's a wonderful thing to look back at life and to see what God does with our children, our finances, our health, and a thousand other things. Because God was just trying to find out, are you willing to give me a little portion so that I can give back my riches? That's what He does. I'm excited for you, church. I really am. I'm excited because you already have the premise of Faith Promise. But you don't want to just stop where you're at. You want to go to the next level. The next level is what God's doing in your life. And really, when you do something in a person's life and you do it collectively, then the church reaps the benefit. So this week, and you guys make your commitments, realize it's really about you. Don't miss out what God wants to do for you in your life. He wants to do something great. Tonight, I don't know how the Lord spoke to your heart, but one thing about Missions Conference is every Missions Conference night is a time for me to say, okay, God, I don't know for sure yet what you want me to give, but I'm asking you to show me, and He will. And He'll always do it out of what you have, not out of what you don't have. But keep asking the Lord, Lord, show me, because I want to be a part of Faith Promise. I want to be a part of giving. If nothing else, I'm selfish. I want God's blessings on my life, and He'll bless you. There's no doubt about it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? What Faith Promise Missions giving does for me. He's pretty clear. He puts fruit in my account in heaven at the judgment seat. Makes me well-pleasing to the Lord. Supplies my own personal need. Ask the Lord what He wants you to give. Father, I thank You again for Your goodness to us. There's no way for us to be able to, even if we started tonight, no way we could count the blessings, Lord, that You've bestowed upon our life. Lord, I ask You to bless the Faith Baptist Church, and Lord, here as they get ready to partake, and Lord, as a congregation here in a day or so, and be able to say, this is what we want to give this year to Faith Promise. Lord, may we be able to do more. Lord, thank You again for Your blessings. We don't deserve them. Father, again, would You bless the invitation, however You spoke to our heart. Maybe somebody tonight, maybe You're calling to missions. Lord, maybe tonight You show someone what You want them to give. But Lord, may we be surrendered in our own heart and will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.
Let's give the invitation to the pianist and the organist to play in tonight. Many, many, many of you came last night and just asked God, what would You have me do? Continue in that spirit. Continue in that prayer. May not be as much about your money as it is about you. Maybe God wants you to go. praise and look this way. You know, I sat there amazed that you would finish it up with Elijah and that widow. Something's been burning in my heart about that lately, just pondering that. When he told Elijah to leave Cherith, he said, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." You ever wonder why she never hesitated when he asked her for a drink of water? God had already told her. He said, "I've commanded a widow woman there," saying, "I already got it set up." So she went right to get the water right away, never hesitated. But then he asked for a little bit more. And it was that going beyond what was commanded that really met her need. Are you with me? What's commanded? Tithing. What is it that meets our need? Going a little bit more. A little bit more. And that cruise never failed. A barrel never failed. And that cruise never ran dry. Not because she went to get that drink of water, but because she went a little bit further and made that cake. And boy, I'm telling you what, did she reap the benefits of that? Was that ever fruit to her account? Great message tonight. You will never go wrong just taking that book right there and going right down through a passage and just laying it out line by line, step by step. You don't get into trouble with false doctrine. You don't get in any kind of heresy. And Brother Hanks, you've been very faithful to the Scripture the last three, four services. Thank you. Great message tonight. So true. And church, I hope that you will now in the days ahead on Sunday when I pass the cards out and we'll make a commitment. And I don't know why some people don't want to write it down, but it seems like that's just an issue with some people. But we'll watch what the missions giving does for 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then we'll come together as a church family and by the grace of God vote to take on all four of these missionaries that are new to us and get the gospel to these places where they want to go. So let's pray about it. Just be diligent. Give yourself to the Lord, and you can't go wrong with it. That was outstanding, Brother Hanks. Thank you. Be sure and greet him. Thank you for coming.